Mm-hmm. Well, I'm telling you there is. I don't think that I necessarily need to tell you who they are or name names. But, there are wholesalers. I mean, they're basically the wholesalers that are in California. They're probably everywhere. I mean, I don't think it's just specifically, you know, it's a part of the whole.
They. L. E. A. Lean. On. The farms.
Well, no, it's really complicated. Mm. It's really complicated. They have. I've been in business for almost 5 years,
mm-hmm.
And so these people that have been the major wholesalers have been around a lot longer than me. So their philosophy is, well, I have built and cultivated these relationships, and you know, and I have these. Deals with these people, and it's true. Sometimes they do have, like, I have some small farms that I buy from, but I can't buy their heirloom tomatoes because they have exclusive with major wholesalers, so I can't get any of their product, which is really sad to me. I mean, it really bums me out because, like, oh man, come on, I can't afford to buy it wholesale because it's just way too expensive. But these wholesalers, they have these deals. So they have cultivated these relationships, and they feel like I'm a newcomer on the market. And, you know, really, quite frankly, you just step aside because we've been here longer than you. And I'm not angry at these people. I don't hate them, and I don't think they're horrible people. I think that they're trying to do a business, and I do think that they got into it for the same reasons that I got into it, because, you know, you think you're doing a good thing, but then business kind of takes over, and they've tried to scare me off of some of these farms. Now, the thing that I really appreciate, now, Frank, the small farms have a say in this too, because I have small farms that go, you know what, we don't really care what they say, and we'll sell to you because we like you, and you're an honest person, and we do good business, and they have a responsibility as well.
That is how things see change for the better. That's how things change for the better when people make decisions
right.
like that.
And so what I've done, at first, I coming from a total different background of just being very, you know, creative and doing hair and minding my own business and made people look good and feel good and shoved them out the door and got immediate gratification by the money right in my hand, and yeah, it was great. You know, from going from that to this thing that I thought was going to be just, you know, good for the earth, and I felt like I was doing a good
warm
thing.
Warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, warm and fuzzy. I thought that I was going to be into this thing that was providing good. It started because I started having kids and realizing that, you know, pesticides are, when they gauge pesticides and how much you can, is allowable. It's for a 35-year-old adult male that weighs 200 pounds or something. And I was like, well, I don't think I want to give my child, I don't think that's okay. So that's kind of how it started. And then I thought, God, this is great. And I still feel really good about what I do. I feel like that we provide a really great service, and I feel like that we have integrity. I feel like I do my best to do a really good business with integrity. And even though all this other political crap is going on around me, but what I entered into really was this really brutal, and it's mostly actually a male-dominated field. There is one wholesaler that's predominantly female, which I really admire a lot. But it's a man's cutthroat world that I was in tears. I'm in tears constantly because I feel like I'm always being sort of challenged, and people are always kind of telling me, you know, like, you can't do that. And it's like, oh, I get so angry. And it's like, what do you mean I can't do? You know, I feel like there's a niche for me. And I feel like the thing is with the whole wholesale deal. Are you liking this? The thing with the whole wholesale deal is, I feel like it's short-sighted for them to think that there's no room for me because, I do. I do a lot of business, and I, you know, if I gave all my business to them, they would have a lot of money. But the little bit of business I give them and the amount that I'm growing, and if we're all really supportive of the same thing, that little bit is just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and there's room for everybody. But
yeah, there's definitely a place for us.
There's a place for
us. There's a place for them, too. I mean, the interesting thing is, which always sort of, which I guess they don't appreciate. I mean, what's interesting to me is, for instance, Whole Foods buys huge amounts of produce directly from farms, but they still buy from wholesalers because there's still a place for the wholesaler. They still need them to some degree. And we still need them, except they feel, since we're not Whole Foods and we're small, they can bully us and step on us and beat up on us as much as they can.
And you are not in the C-C-O-R corporate world where W-H Whole Foods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. We don't have
that.
Yeah,
there's definitely that
kind of.
There's definitely that
power.
Whole thing that I've really felt. Being the buyer is, I'm sure that they don't get, Whole Foods wouldn't get the kind of grief I do from going to a farm. You know, they just wouldn't even, you know, touch that. But for me, I'm just like, you know, I feel like my stance with them is like, leave me alone or I won't buy from you at all. And then, and I've done that. And then they're eventually sorry for it, I think. And they, you know, and then I'll start this whole relationship with them again, and it's very I never thought it would just be so difficult, you know. It's political, and I never thought
it,
people don't realize where their food comes from and
is
the process.
It is a B a battle for C H A and change. It's a battle for change.
Yeah. It is. And we're sort of a relatively new business to the whole deal, to the home delivery service. It's more predominant now, but so I feel like I'm just kind of fighting for my place constantly in
not Jay, just your place, but for us.
Well, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Because I mean, because actually, that's the argument I always use with them
we should take Frank over to that.
I know.
I think you do a fine job.
I know.
We did. We had a guy that paid way too much for this property next door to us. That a man, our neighbor, passed away and didn't have a will, and Frank's students were looking to buy a house, and so they spent over a year working through the county and the state and the city to do all the paperwork to buy the property. They paid for an assessment of the property and everything, and then out of nowhere this air finder shows up and finds an obscure relative somewhere, you know, far away. Gets a realtor, and then this guy we call the asshole shows up. He's somebody who owns a lot of the property around here and has a vision of owning the whole neighborhood, you know, and turning it into rental property. And so he showed up and paid like double what it was worth. And then when we found out about it, there was rumors that he was going to buy. Well, we knew because our Frank students were there at the place when you bid for it. And they put their little tiny bid, which was, you know, above what it was worth. And then he puts his big bid. So we tracked down his number and we called him and we left a message on his machine and we said the rumor had been that he wanted to build a big apartment thing there. And we had done a lot of research with zoning over that year to find out what could be done. So we knew he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And so we called and got his machine and left a message that we just want to let you know we're the people that live next door and we know what the property is zoned for, and there's rumors that you want to do something else with it, and we just want to let you know before you buy it that we will fight that, so that you're warned. He never called us back. He bought the property. Sure enough, you know, he built. He plans on building this big thing. You know, there's a lot of steps, but he ends up sending us the blueprints. He pays this architect to do this fancy thing. It's bigger than the apartment building that's on the corner. And this is like a tiny little property with a single story, tiny house on it. And he's going to max out everything.
A whole lot,
And so eventually it gets to the point where we tell him to come over and we'll talk with him. And Michael and I sat there and said nothing and let Frank deal with him. Well, he walks in and he's not an old guy, but he's a bully. He's a bully. And you can tell he's somebody who's used to talking and nobody interrupts him.
Right.
And he gets his way just by kind of repeating what he has to say over and over again until you just kind of like do this. So Frank just did that. Frank just did that. You could see he was turning purple and red. He just wanted to like kill somebody. And Frank, you know, just yell. And what's he going to do? You know, hit Frank? And, you know, he left with his, well, it turns out he couldn't do it. You know, we rallied the neighbors and got letters. We did a thing where, with Michael, did a thing on the computer where we took a lot of photos of our backyard. And on the computer, he superimposed this building exactly the way the guy gave us the plinths and sent the photos to all the neighbors. Well, then everybody wanted to write letters. Yeah. We sent it to the city. We sent it to him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he didn't do it. Mm-hmm. He's still sitting there with the property a year,
see,
couple years later.
Good. Yeah.
But everybody told us that we couldn't do it. Everybody told us. They said, you know, you guys are just being way too idealistic. It doesn't matter that the law is on your side because these are the kind of guys that get what they want. Right. And we said, no, that's not right. We can't believe that. I am always... U-N-R-E, unrealistic. A, unreasonable. You're always unreasonable.
That's what people tell me, too.
Yeah, we're probably always, I don't know if we're unreasonable, but we're definitely unrealistic.
I know.
We wouldn't be doing this if we weren't, really.
But. That we get 3D E produce. Mm-hmm. Well, we get the box from you guys, and then we get the box. That's like we get that delivered. And then we part of the community supported agriculture thing, Full Belly Farm.
Sure.
So we pick up our Full Belly.
That. We buy from them.
We
buy from their neighbor River Dog and Short Night. Buy all in that whole area. I love those guys. They're great.
Yeah.
In fact, we're getting eggplant and from Short Night and River Dog this week, which are they're all neighbors and they're really sweet. Like if one can't get me something, I'll say, well, let me see if I can get it, and then they'll truck it down, like one of them will truck it down for all of them, and they're really great with each other. They really support each other
But what about Full Belly and stuff? You mean, no, people, no. W, right, about complaining, you mean? Yeah, well, like Full Belly, they have like the little board up where you can write comments and stuff, and, you know, people will complain. I'm so tired of getting
potatoes. God, why? Give me so many potatoes.
So they'll write in their little newsletter very nicely, you know. But it was like, one more time, you know, like when you're growing organic, it's potato season, you eat a lot of potatoes, but it's, you know, and, but it seems like people don't kind of understand
exactly
what it means.
Yeah, exactly.
Get into it. Just get into it. This is when you're eating a lot of eggplant, you know, that's what there is now.
Yeah. Well, it goes back to that whole consumer thing that people, you know, they don't quite, they want to be organic, but they don't really understand what it involves,
what that means.
And then you know, and then they're unhappy, and they think, you know, why are you doing this to me, or why aren't you giving
why
me more variety?
Why don't you have peaches right now?
Yeah, why aren't there peaches now, even though peach season ended, you know, 3 months ago?
I want peaches.
They
and it's a real education process.
They are T R A I training. Oh, with full belly, you mean? No, they are Whole Foods and places like that are training people mm-hmm. that they can get tomatoes
out of season,
yeah.
all year round.
Yeah,
everything.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, you can.
Yeah,
if you buy them out of. You can.
Yeah. They.
And that's why you see them all year round, and that's why people get so damn confused.
They. They don't. R. E. A. L.
Realize.
That. M. That means. Some. Where. L. O. Local. F. A. Farm. R. Not. P. R. O. Producing. For. That. For their. L. O. Local. A. Area. A. Area. No, for their local. A. Time. Their local need.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're buying outside the season, you're not supporting the person
No, that they don't realize that the some local farm is not.
Did you get that?
No, is not. P. R. O. Producing. For. The L
for the local market,
for the local needs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not staying local. Like, mm-hmm. is that what you mean? It's that the local farmer is not from providing for the local needs, like in M E Mexico. Oh, say for example. Okay, so Mexico mm-hmm. isn't growing stuff that's feeding the people in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then there might be people in Mexico who can't afford to buy their food shipped from California or something like that. So they're not being fed by the local farmers.
Mm-hmm. Right, the local organic farmers in Mexico are sending all their stuff up here.
Yeah.
To the Bay Area, so we can have tomatoes in February.
Well, you know, a lot of California farmers also farm in Mexico in the winter. Mm. That's very typical.
Just
so
for that
a lot of them have farms in Mexico, so and they ship it back here. Yeah. It's pretty common.
Mm. Yeah.
So they're out of season here, so they go and they grow in Mexico.
That is not R E A L L. That is not really in the P H philosophy of
mm-hmm.
organic sustainable farming.
Yeah. Well, I mean, ideally, you want to grow everything locally and have it eaten locally and bought by the people right in the area, no question about it. If you read, I'm sure since you read the newsletter, I go over that and over that, especially now as we get into winter, because this is, you know, when there's really limited availability and things that are grown locally are pretty limited, and people, again, like you're saying,
all these complaints,
they start to say, oh my god, not broccoli again or potatoes
kale.
Again
Charge.
And
it seems like that is the education process.
Because it's like the things that grow locally are the things that are the best for your body, mm-hmm. you know, during that time of year. Mm-hmm. And it seems like people just need to kind of be educated about that.
Yeah, yeah. And also be creative. I mean, people on their own need to be creative about what they do with their food. We often talk about, gee, the only thing we don't provide is a chef in a box. Uh-huh. And that's the missing piece. You know, if only we could put in a little chef that would jump out and say, okay, here's what we're going to do this week with your broccoli. Don't worry. It'll be really exciting. And that's, it's hard.
We have never eaten better.
Yeah.
Since we've had this business, us personally. We are awesome cooks. We can do 1,000 things with broccoli and chard and kale and actually, we don't have to steam it every week. Oh my god, they're my favorite.
All the stuff that everybody, you know, kale and collards.
You don't have to steam them every week. Yeah. You don't have to just have them. I mean, you can do all kinds of. I mean, there's ginger and garlic, and there's all peppers, and there's all kinds of stuff you can
for. And for tea. Thousands of years people ate, did that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it worked out.
Right. Yeah. And here we all are.
We just live in such a convenient society, though. You know, people want what they want when they want it. And that's another dilemma of our business, too. It's like, okay, so do we offer people asparagus that's coming from Argentina because people want from Chile because they want asparagus? Do you?
That.
Or don't you? Tell me, Frank, should I or shouldn't I?
That would be
wrong.
Bite you in the butt.
Bite me in the butt.
Yeah.
It's interesting though. It's interesting because people will
like in the 80s we lived with people who closed
companies.
And they use SW sweatshops. They have no, they have all KIN kinds of RATI rationalizing they get MOR, they get more than they would if we did not do it. If we didn't give them the business, they're getting more than they would if we weren't giving them the business. But
it be I bit them in the butt?
That's true. Well, I'll just have to keep educating.
True. That.
Yeah.
That is. That is. Your. M. A. I. Main. Job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is. It is our main job. But,
doesn't mean that people like what they hear either, you know. I mean, it
S. So. That. We. No. Then. If. You. Don't. If you want. No, then if you. No, if you. If you want. If you want to be. S. A. Safe. You. Can. You can. W. O. R. Work. At. S. A. Safeway.
Oh, please.
Oh, what a choice. Thanks.
I want to be depressed. Even more okay. depressed than I already am. Wow.
That made the decision easy.
Yeah.
You.
No, I don't want to do that.
You are doing G R great.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Sometimes I question myself a lot about that.
Don't.
Well, I have to, Frank. I have customers like you that make me, you know, constantly keep me on my toes about what's the right thing to do. Don't buy that asparagus from Chili.
My, that is, D, different. That's different than the kind of questioning he's saying don't do.
Yeah.
He's,
yeah.
I misunderstood.
He's saying don't question kind of your mission.
Oh.
You know, like that going with your integrity is the right thing to do.
No,
don't
I
question
know.
That.
Yeah. No, yeah. I know that that's the right thing. Yeah.
H-E-L- M. Helms, Jesse Helms, investigated Frank in the early 90s. Frank was one of the artists that got investigated for doing obscene art.
That's quite an honor.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
But M. Most. T. A. Targeted artist. Most targeted artists didn't think it was a good thing, and they got uptight and got, you know, careful about what they did, started censoring themselves. You, if you do are I risky? A. Art. That. P. U. Pushes. P. On. That pushes people. That pushes people. You. Need. Have. You need. To. A.
accept that things like that are going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Crank that in. Yeah. Yeah. Don't W-H-I don't whine about it when it does happen.
Yes, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, we have actually...
So I can't whine anymore when I start pissing on everybody off, huh? I have to just accept it.
Just keep that going.
That's a good lesson.
That is your... J, that's your job.
Yeah!
Well, we finally figured that out. Actually, what
I do piss a lot of people off too.
You know what? What's interesting also is that I haven't quite figured this one out, but we have a substantial number of Republican customers who hate the. Obviously, they really think organic food is important, but they hate the fact that I get really down on our president for his horrific environmental policies. They don't want it, you know, they want the organic food,
but they don't want your political commentary. But they don't want my political commentary
in these newsletters, which, of course, to me, I can't really separate them because this is the business we're in, and if the government is going to, you know, trash the environment, well, then I'm going to say something about it.
Plus, come on, it gives you a lot of material.
Plus, there's, huge amount of stuff to write about for a change.
They keep R E. A, D, they keep reading.
Yeah, they
keep
do.
Reading.
And that's true. I keep pissing them off, and they keep writing me, and they keep reading. You're right.
Mm-hmm. you've had somebody threaten to quit if you didn't stop.
I've had a few people tell me they were quitted. I think they did quit.
I never, you, and understand. That why people keep reading if they feel that way.
It's like people you love to disagree with or something, you know.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess they like being pissed off, so they keep reading. Mm-hmm. Although a few of them did quit because I kept ranting. But
that's the one thing about having your own business that makes is kind of neat, that you feel like, you know what, fuck you. I can think and say whatever I want.
Yes,
you know.
Yes,
and there are definitely certain things that I feel like I find myself, okay, you know, I need to keep my mouth shut and blah. Uh-oh.
4562155859. I have no idea who that is.
So as long as it's not the sitter.
No, it's not the babysitter. Mm.
But yeah, it is. I mean, that's the nice thing too. It's like I feel like it's my business and I can, you know, control a lot of things, and I can have my own opinion, and they can quit, but I can't get fired for it. So there.
They don't use logic. They don't use logic. The people that think it's okay to destroy the environment, but they still want to have organic produce.
Yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? That always kind of blows my mind. That's so contradictory. Yeah, I don't understand it.
They have no L-O long-term vision, no long-term S-E-N sense.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
W H I, which is why which is what organic is all about.
Yeah, you have to read this week's newsletter. It's really great. Because a lot of it is about just that. I've got this speech made by this environmental researcher and writer, Diane Dumanowski. And she's basically, it's amazing to me, she's writing about how there's this whole other level of environmental degradation going on that we're not even talking about. The pesticides at this point are the really obvious stuff. Mm. We all know about the pesticides. But there's all of these things that are in all of the plastics we're using and in all of the inert ingredients. That, you know, she gave this wonderful example of the spraying that they do in Canada for a budworm on some tree. So they spray whole forests. And they're spraying the pesticide, but there's this inert ingredient that, of course, if you look on any label of any chemical you have in your house, 97.7% of the ingredients are inert, and they don't tell you what it is at all. You have no idea what's in there. And she's saying that, in this case, the substance that they're spraying, the inert ingredient is to make the pesticide stick on the leaves to kill this worm. It turns out that the inert ingredient that makes it tacky and stick on the leaves is actually a hormonal disruptor, and it eventually leaches off the leaves into the soil, into the water, and the salmon are hormonally are being affected, and so they're not spawning. And this is an inert ingredient that nobody even talks about. And the same thing is happening with plastics. There's all these plastics that everyone thought, well, this is inert, and plastics just sort of sit there. But in fact, they've discovered that there's certain elements of the plastic that leach out of the plastic into the water and basically affect animals, humans, even plants. All of this hormonal activity that's essential for the environment to function as a whole. And all that stuff is not even being talked about. And her point was, we're so incredibly ignorant about what it is that we're doing. It's frightening.
A last week, our D E N I dentist S A our dentist said she can not. Right. They have a fish aquarium in the office, and she said, they have like a professional that comes in and maintains it. And she was saying that she has her own aquarium, so she's always trying to learn from this guy, you know, stuff. And she said, you know, it's so hard to have aquariums anymore. It didn't used to be. I said, well, why? What's changed? And she said, oh, it's all the stuff in the water. You know, it's killing all the fish. And she's a Republican.
Uh-huh.
And even she was alarmed. And she said, you know, so you have to kind of put all these other chemicals in to counteract the chemicals that are naturally in the water so the fish don't die, but the fish blow up. And she said, it really makes you wonder what's in our water, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Really? But she don't take it to the next S step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You if it did, if it does that to fish,
right,
what's it doing to humans?
Oh,
it doesn't.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and that's what this woman makes this wonderful point, that we're assuming that we have nothing in common with fish or frogs or bugs or anything else in this world. But of course we do. And the interesting thing is, you know, the whole genome project is showing that there's really not that many genes, and our genetic makeup has so much in common with even insects or the smallest animals or whatever the case may be, that so obvious, you know, it's just so obvious now that, well, if all these chemicals and pesticides and synthetics are affecting animal and plant life, there's no question that it's going to affect us. But nobody, you know, but this is now 50 years after the fact, you know, after we've been polluting for
and
50 years.
And we don't even need to use those pesticides. That's going back to the organic thing. That we, this, there, are be better ways of dealing with those things.
Yeah.
Yeah. No question about it.
Take the easy way out.
Yeah.
On they want things that they can patent and make money off of, rather than the natural way that nobody can patent and make money from.
Sure. Oh yeah. Right. Yeah. Right.
Like a N T S ants. Remind me. P we use the stick, the chalk. It's this herbal chalk that you can get like in Chinatown.
Mm-hmm.
It's like $1 for a little box, and like it totally keeps ants out. You know,
oh, really?
It like totally works.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we went through so many things, like all the like being aware of all the poison stuff that everybody was saying to use. We HA had a P E S
pest control guy
come out. That was the good guy. That was the guy. He was a scientist that worked at UCB, but he kind of did pest control on the side out of his house. He said all the pest control companies don't work. Yeah, he said all those things don't work, and you have to have them come back every year to do anything. There's no,
right.
That's just the way it is. They don't work. And he, you know, he pretty much talked us out of trying anything. Yeah. But the C H, the chalk, yeah, is non-toxic. It's, you know, it's cheap. It doesn't. It's just like an herbal thing made into a chalk.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
And they've actually a hardware store used to carry it here on Shattuck Avenue, so you didn't have to go into Chinatown. And the government banned them from carrying it because they said there weren't enough tests done on it. But it's like nobody was making money. It's just like, you know, 99 cents because
she
could go to Chinatown and get a bag of them. And yeah. But like that Raid, you know, is okay. You can buy Raid and you can spray that around.
We've done plenty of tests on that. We
right.
know it, Bugsy. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's the that's the scary thing. None of that stuff has been tested at all.
Right.
I mean, that's...
It's all about the money.
It's all...
B.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about making
e.
money.
B. Yeah. It's all about the money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Will O R organic farming be even P O possible
in 5 years. In 5 years. Hmm. Because of the leaking, you mean, like the genetic, where the way that when people do genetically altered farming and they're saying that the wind blows the, you know, the stuff, and then there's no way to keep it out of the organic farms, and they're testing organic farms and they're finding from the farm next door.
I mean, I've always wondered that, and that's got to be, I know they do the soil testing all the time in organic farms, but if you have a conventional farm next door to an organic farm, I don't know how long. I mean, there must be a certain distance.
Well, they're finding that it is leaching into it.
Oh, I'm sure.
I mean, there are a lot of people that use that to discount organic farming. Well, what's really organic anymore?
Right.
Everything's all kind of blending together.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but they do have, you know, we hear it on Lover all the time, you know, that they have all these things, proof that that's actually happening.
Yeah.
And the concern now is because of genetically engineered stuff. So now it's not only the pesticides, but now it's all that going into the other organic produce.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's...
It is too late.
Oh, that's depressing.
But that's not. I mean, it's not even true. But that's kind of the argument they use. Because if you start now, you're better off than if you start 10 years from now.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, I have great hopes because I did. I mean, just in the short time that we've been in this business, I've really seen a change in the. I mean, a lot of conventional farms seem to be switching over. There are a lot of I see a lot of transitional farms coming out, which are conventional farms that are. Going organic, and I actually buy transitional produce because I believe that we should support the conventional farmers in making the transition. And if you don't buy it in the transition, they're not going to continue. And so, I mean, that's kind of our philosophy that you have to support the process. And the process is, if you're going to switch over, you're going to have this thing. And I've seen a lot of conventional farms doing that, becoming transitional, then they're becoming organic. And it seems to be much more in people's consciousness these days. So I really have unrealistic hopes.
Unrealistic hopes.
I do. I think that.
Oh, hope. Hope is V E very P. Oh, powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Hope is very powerful.
Yeah.
That is why they want people to think H-O, hope, L, E, hopeless.
Yeah, because then you're just going to give up and not do anything. You're going to stop buying. Oh, I'm not going to buy this because it doesn't matter anyway. And
yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I'm definitely a big believer in what I do in the whole organic industry. And, I buy strictly organic when I'm at the store. I mean, yeah, and it does cost more, and I know it costs more. But I believe that it's the way to go. And I also believe that the more people buy, and you know, yes, a lot of conventional farms are going into organics for the money because they think they're going to make more money because it is more money. But the more people do that and the more people grow organically, the prices are going to drop. And that's the way that we should be growing anyway.
It
doesn't have to be this huge gap in...
I am important that they get the P H
philosophy behind organic. It's important that people that buy organic get the philosophy, like your customers.
Yeah.
And the F, A, R, and the farms that are transitional. That the and also the farms that are traditional, that they get the philosophy too. Mm. That it's important that they get the philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
Or it will, it would be like the H E A L health F O O health food. Oh, what's happening with the health food stores? Right, like the sugar and the white flour and stuff that's showing up in the health food stores now. Like, yeah, we part of why we live here is because we are around the corner from a health food store that we shop in, and we started noticing that there was sugar, and it was like organic, you know. So, and you know, when we started questioning the owners about it, like, they're like, they like totally agree that it's not like a good thing, but they just think that they should just go along with it because that's what everybody's doing. And they thought about putting little signs up that just kind of said this now. Because the same products that you used to buy changed the ingredients, and there was no way for you to know that unless you really started realizing you had to start reading ingredients again.
Right.
So they thought about putting signs up, and they even chickened out on that. Yeah. And so now, like, you know, it's hard to find cereal without sugar in it at the health food store. There's like one or two selections that we have now, and it used to be like the whole aisle was possible. And the, you know, the frozen things that we used to get, you know, the pizza, now has sugar in it. You know, so you can't, like, it's like, it's kind of like it's gone full circle now. It's like there was a point where you could get all these, like, convenience foods that were healthy, and now they're kind of sneaking in all the sugar. We wrote to the companies. I mean, we have, like, this thick paper. One of Frank's students did a major. He works at the grocery store, so we did this major research project with all the companies. And, yeah, they just kind of throw a lot of bullshit at you, and, like, rationalizing again, you know, how it's not really sugar, you know, even though, yes, it does the same thing to your body that white sugar does, you know, but they just kind of, the song and dance, it doesn't make any sense what they're saying. H. E. Hey, it is I, it is O, it's organic. And that's the thing about education. Yeah. Like, people, you know, that a lot of the people that shop there don't realize they should start reading the labels. And they see, well, organic, that's okay. And it's cane juice, natural, that's okay.
Yeah. Everything has natural on it now. Yeah. Those are the labels I read all the time.
Yeah, when it says natural.
It's like, oh, natural is this.
But I mean, if that one store had just kind of taken a stand, they could have even kept selling the sugar, but if they just did something, you know, that put signs up or some way acknowledged that something was happening, it would have been such a big deal in the way things go. S O so does so we are D E depending on you guys.
Okay.
How can people S I sign up? How can people sign up?
Larry, so you're great at giving that spiel.
Oh, okay. That's my chance. How can people sign up? The easiest way to sign up is on the website. www.planetorganics.com. Or they can just call us on the phone, the good old-fashioned way, which is 415-522-0526. And either way, it's really easy.
And how? What? It's the San Francisco Bay Area.
It's pretty much the whole Bay Area. We go all the way south to San Jose and east all the way out to Livermore and north all the way up to Petaluma. And so, yeah, pretty much the whole Bay Area we cover.
Not and the stuff is great. Of course. We get it. Our friends get it. The stuff is, the food is wonderful. You do a good job picking stuff.
Thank you. Yeah. That's great to hear.
It is nice to hear.
It gives me encouragement.
Yeah.
To keep creative, on doing a good job.
It's a creative thing. You know, you can tell that you put a lot of thought into it, and the selection of stuff is always fun to open it.
Oh,
it's like,
good.
Ooh, what did we get today? Yeah, so it's nice.
Good. Because it's true. I mean, you know, she does put a lot of effort into what goes in a box.
Yeah,
each
you can
week.
Tell that. Yeah.
And it's nice that you guys recognize it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because we don't hear that all that often. I mean, of course, you know, most people...
It's a lot easier to get a complaint.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to,
a
for
compliment.
People to say, I'm not happy. You know, if they are happy, they usually don't tell you. So that's really nice to hear. I mean, it means a lot.
Yes. People have need you. S-A. Saying. People need you saying. People need you. No, people need to say. What. When. They. When they're happy with something. Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. Not just say things when it's bad.
Well, all the emails that we get are like, oh, great box this week, or I have them all plastered to the wall. Because it's my total encouragement. Because I'm telling you, it's so easy to let one comment, a negative comment, ruin my whole day and want, I can't do it anymore, I quit. You know, where a compliment is just like, woo, you know? It's so wonderful, but it's...
F-U-E, fuel. It fuels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we do, too. Whenever there's something positive that we get, we make such a big deal out of it. And we talk about it a lot. And we, Frank does it. He says, you focus on the good stuff. You just focus on that. Let that be your driving thing.
It's so easy to let the negative stuff just pound you into the ground. It's just amazing how, you know, it's easy to do that. Gotta work on that, because I think we're doing a good job too. I believe in what we're doing, but it's hard, and sometimes I just want to do hair, play the drums, anything else, but you know, get people their food.
do both.
Okay, I do.
Right on.
So, whew, we got out of our sex life.
She said we got out of our sex life.
Yeah.
We got out of that one.
That'll
six,
be, that'll be
five.
Another show.
You have us back for that one, right?
Why do you think that? You got out of it.
I just thought we were done wrapping things up.
If you turn off the cameras, maybe we can talk about it.
A. D. M. Admit it.
Admit what?
Your B R E A breast did not just fall out.
Oh God, I'm so transparent.
You know her too well already. It's that
well,
obvious.
I knew the top that I was wearing was a little flimsy.
It's that obvious, huh?
Like that. Like that D. Like that D. R. Like the dress you're wearing now. And they had some good juice, Frank.
Really? Well, you know, the one thing about the breast thing that was really kind of humiliating, I was very traumatized for it in the beginning, but then I thought, oh my God, my breast flew out of a shirt, and I never thought I had a breast that could fly. So I was like, woo, all right.
They always can
fly. Well, I learned my lesson.
So is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. So we never actually introduced you as by your names.
Oh.
So go ahead, say what your names are.
Oh, I'm Larry Berg.
Yeah.
And I'm Laureen Reed.
Yeah. Yeah. That's Planet Organics.
That's us.
Yeah. And so let's see. I R E A really want you to drum in the jam. Really,
I would be so honored if I felt like I was worthy. I would.
Yeah,
I really
you
would.
Should.
I'll work on it.
That'd be
on
great.
It. I promise I will, because that's kind of my fantasy.
Don't work on it. He wants you. He wants you raw, and that's what he wants. In the 70s. Well, we did a very popular show in the 70s in San Francisco at the Mabuhay Gardens called The Outrageous Beauty Review. And it was like, it ran for 3.5 years and got lots of like international press. And Frank said that was a period where he had to work really hard to not get famous. Because his whole thing is to, the underground is where you can make change. And so he wants to stay right there. So, but anyway, at one point he decided to get a band, like a show band, because one of the people in the show had this fantasy about being a lead singer in the band. He said, okay, I'll get a band for you. So he put notices out, and he got all these musicians, and he said to the musicians, I don't want the band to be good, because the whole show was like tacky and raw. He said, so... The first time we get through a song from beginning to end, it goes in the show. And then if it starts getting too good, I bump it. And, you know, half of the musicians said, I can't do it, you know. And then the other half really wanted to be in the show, you know, because it was, like, really, like, you know, a popular show. So, oh, yeah, I can do it, Frank. And, you know, they'd last 1 week, 2 weeks, you know, maybe a month. And they just, like, really couldn't stand not, you know, polishing a song. So at a certain point, Frank just said he gave up on that. And he just had the members of the cast, there were like 30 of us, pick an instrument. And we literally learned how to play on stage every Saturday night.
Oh,
we just kind of barely got through the
awesome.
Song.
Oh, and see, I'm so unpolished. I could do that.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. Cool.
Yeah. Okay. Next week is No Shaman's Den, because Frank is a guest at Discord Aggregate Salon... Intersection Salon. It's a small thing, a salon in Berkeley, and you have to sign up on the internet, and it's discordaggregate.com. And it'd be like limited to 20 people, and Frank will be there talking about what he does. And so that's next Sunday, but there will be stuff on Lover. It just won't be the Shaman's Den. And then the week after that is Richard Edmondson, the person who started San Francisco Liberation Radio. So that's on October 28th. Okay. I am Chemos. So if you live in San Francisco Bay Area, come to Chemos on November 3rd. Frank Moore's Trotic All-Star Band, possibly with some sexy drumming. Oh, no, not that. That's not the one he wants you to come
okay.
to. He wants you to come to the 17th. Other one. I forgot. Okay. And that's with Extreme Elvis and Fluff Girl and the Trotic All-Stars. That starts, I think, at 9 o'clock. And the poster's up on our website, upcoming performances. And L, the Lover Benefit, on November 17th. H, Y, H, U, G, huge show. Yeah, do you want me to read the list, don't you? Ag. Oh, I know. I have that thing that I typed up. All right, we're getting it. I know it's Frank Moore's Trotic All-Star Band, Extreme Elvis, Discord Aggregate, Katie Bell, Andrew Poisoner, Attaboy and Burke, maybe with their band. And Extra Action, Extra Action, I got everybody. F, E, female, F-E-M, I, N, I, feminist, strippers.
Oh, what are you looking at me for?
Feminist stripper. Okay, so that's November 17th, and that is a benefit for lovers, so you definitely want to come to that. And and we have this baker. Okay, so John the Baker is this vegan baker. He's had his recipes in the Vegetarian Life, and it's incredible recipes that he's created that, you know, I'm always getting them to write down, and we try them. But he doesn't bake now, and so we asked him if he would bake cookies, because last time we did this event at Ramen, we bought a bunch of, like, healthy cookies and had them with Calistoga in the back for the bands. And he thought, hey, we could have John, like, bake cookies. So, I don't know, you know, it's a lot to do. And then we met this guy who has this cafe right up the street on Solano Avenue, the Berkeley Bakery.
We just walked by.
Well, Harry the Baker is this incredible guy. He's, like, not in it for the money. He's in it for community. We had never met the guy. We go in there, and we're eating. The next thing we know, he comes over with a plate of strawberry shortcake that he just gave us. Because he's this baker, like, that's, like, a lot of what he does. He makes, like, specialty cakes and stuff. And he was putting one together. He says, you know, I always trim the sides off. I thought you guys would enjoy this. He sat and talked with him for hours. And he's selling Frank's peace sign. He's framing it, and he has stuff there to sell.
That's great.
We told him about Lover and John the Baker and stuff, and he said, you know, I'd like to do something. He said, how about if I offer you my kitchen, my bakery, and I'll help. And you just get me some help, and you provide the ingredients, and we'll spend, time, and we'll bake all the cookies, and that will be, like, my donation.
Oh, wow.
So now that's John the Baker, of course, said, oh, how can I pass that up? So it'll be worth it that's just great. For the baked goods. Okay. So Bern is singing Fuck the War. Can get your... P-E-A, peace sign. You can buy a copy of Frank's peace flag. It's $5. Just send us $5. And all the info's on our website. And it, G-I-O, it goes to Lover. Right, the money goes to Lover. Yes. Here comes Bern singing Fuck the War, and then in about 40 minutes, Susie Block. This is Love Underground Vision Radio.
That's not what I came here for. I don't want to have pepper sprayed in my eyes. I don't want the candy surprise. So gather around and we'll sing a song. Make it very long. We'll call it Fuck the Bomb. Gather around, have a drink, cause we're on the brink of war. I don't want to be in somebody else's fight. I don't want to be scared at night. I don't want to have to fight for every single fucking right. But if I do, I will. So gather around and we'll sing a song. We'll make it very long. We'll call it Fuck the Bomb. Gather around, we'll have a drink, cause we're on the brink of war. War. Fuck the war. Fuck the bomb. Fuck the war. Hey. I don't want to be in the war, no, I don't want to be in the war. Fuck the war, fuck the bomb, fuck the death penalty, free mommy and food your mom. Fuck rape, fuck the gun, fuck the war, fuck the bomb, hey. I don't want to be in the war, no, I don't want to be in the war. Fuck the war. Fuck breast cancer and lung cancer, prostate cancer too. Fuck Nike ads and useless fads, the bullet and the brew. Though the brew is very tasty, fuck the way it makes us nasty. Fuck men who blacken women's eyes, domestic violence and all its lies, broken bones and children's cries. I don't want to be in the war, no, I don't want to be in the war. Fuck the war. Fuck those who try to stop the flow of ganja, who will lock us up for us. Misdemeanor, three strikes you're out, and meaner streets, meaner wars, meaner bombs, meaner people. I don't want to be in the war, no, I don't want to be in the war. Fuck the war, fuck the war, fuck the war. Fuck the war. All right.